Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for me to record for all the podcast listeners around the world a personalized championship audio or video introduction. Special offers now are available at brucebuffer.com, plus more personalized audios and videos for all special occasions such as weddings, birthdays, baby births, podcast intros, special business and corporate events, and much more, as your wish is my command. Check it out. Let me do them for you. Go to brucebuffer.com and send in your request now. It's time!
With Bruce Buffer. And now, it's time for the voice of mixed martial arts.
At Jewelers Mutual, we're a little obsessed with jewelry. Obsessed like auctioneers with talking fast.
50, we're going to fit.
Pop stars with auto-tune.
Yeah.
And dentists with asking questions.
So, how did he propose?
After they've put their hands in your mouth.
Great.
Yes, we've made jewelry our obsession for over 100 years. We love it so much, we named our kids Ruby, Amber, and Opal.
Venti soy latte for Opal?
At Jewelers Mutual, we insure jewelry and only jewelry. Which is why people who are also obsessed with jewelry trust us with theirs.
It's Bruce Buffer.
Bruce Buffer.
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, where UFC 246 and Conor McGregor are coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. This is 2020, a new year, a new decade, and we are here to show you a new year of It's Time Radio with my guest host, and she's on once a month, so let's just call her co-host, the beautiful, the sensual, the ever-intelligent, the ever-fantasizing, calculating, exciting, questionable what she's going to say, Sammy Phillips. Hi, Sammy. The F-bomb count starts now.
I'm going to try and not do it.
Wow!
Why do the predictable?
I like your New Year's resolution. Let's see if we can keep it to under 145 for the show, and that'll be an improvement.
And also, I just want to say thank you, Bruce. You know why? I think it's the first time you've actually called me a co-host.
Yeah, I'm sure I've done it before.
Did it take 11 years? Well, you know, that's a good internship or whatever it's called when you're an apprentice.
I think it had to do with the delicious dinner you made Brian and I over Christmas at your beautiful home.
Ooh, so, what'd you make?
Yeah.
Tell me more about it. What did I do?
Oh, you invited Brian and I over. we had a wonderful dinner. I mean, Sammy made, Sammy's vegetarian, TJ.
I knew so, that, yeah.
Delicious lasagna, the hors d'oeuvres, if that's still the proper word people use these days, were delicious. The wine was flowing, and we were laughing our butts off. We just had a great time. The three of us get together and we laugh, and that's the name of the game. We celebrated Christmas and love and friendship and there you go. So I figured I'd call her a co-host now. She passed the test.
And also, you fulfilled a dream for my Vasquez neighbors.
Oh, yes, that's right. Don't tell TJ. You go ahead and tell.
Okay. So Bruce and Brian met the Vasquezes, my neighbors who are super fans of Bruce and the UFC, and Alex and his small son, who Bruce gave a suggestion of where the kid could go train, because he's a massive child. He's like the size of a 10-year-old, but he's two, right?
Yeah, big guy.
He's a big kid, sweet kid. And then Ruben, the brother, they had another pal, and everybody crowded into my dining room and stood in a corner. I'm like, guys, come in, come in. Bruce was regaling with tales. they talked all about Conor McGregor. Everyone's got an opinion. Everybody posed for photos. It was great. It was like a meet and greet in my home.
It was called a free appearance, Sammy.
Oh, I don't believe that. Invoice is on the way.
Yeah, yeah, the invoice is like, no, she made up for it with the dinner. It's okay. It's all.
I paid for it with a meal.
Yeah, she paid for it with a meal. I work for food, TJ. I work for food. And by the way, everybody, that's TJ DeSantis, my co-host on It's Time Radio for 11 years every week. There you go. And my producer.
We made it, Mama. We did
it. The official TJ.
Yeah, we did it. All right, guys, look, we have a lot of news to talk about. There's some tough stories here we're going to talk about, as well as some feel-good stories, and we'll rant and wave as usual. Rant and rave as usual. But the big news of the week, the press conference was yesterday. Conor McGregor, Cowboy Cerrone, UFC 246 pay-per-view, January 18th, Saturday, Las Vegas. T-Mobile Arena sold out within hours, over 10 million gate, and pay-per-views will be flowing. Let's face it, Conor McGregor brings the biggest pay-per-view numbers of anybody in the UFC. I expect it to continue. I don't see any reason why it will not. What I did notice yesterday, TJ, and I'm sure you watched the press conference, we have a very poised, a very proper Conor McGregor coming into this fight, showing respect to Cowboy Cerrone, who in turn is showing respect to Conor McGregor, who in turn laid out more F-bombs yesterday than Conor McGregor, which is an unheard of fact, but it did happen. You know, if you count, if you do account for Cerrone yesterday at the press conference, it's like counting Sammy on a past his
sure,
time
sure, but
podcast.
Isn't Conor always saying Fukin? So he's always going to be lower,
yeah, but I,
you know, Fukin.
It's all, yeah, Fukin, but I honestly didn't even hear anything come out. I saw Conor very, I don't want to say rehearsed, I don't mean that, but I will say practiced, coming on with the image that he's displaying now, which is an image of Conor McGregor of old, which I, you know, always loved. It's very interesting. It's very interesting, and it was fun to watch the press conference yesterday. And all I can say is I'm truly looking forward to the fight. I am truly looking forward to the fight. Cerrone looks like he's really ready to bang. Conor's laid back, confident. And according to the doctor of the UFC, in the best shape ever for a UFC, according to Conor, his best training camp ever for a UFC fight, Cerrone, totally ready to go, ready to throw, you know, to the wind and into Conor. And Conor's ready to throw in Cerrone, and Conor says he'll knock him out. And Cerrone says, basically, we're just going to have a fight, and it's going to be a fight for the ages. So here we go. The buildup is there. What, Sammy?
When's the fight?
Saturday.
Yeah. Wait, this Saturday?
Yes, honey, yes. January 18th.
In Vegas?
I leave for Vegas tomorrow. It's sold out in 3 hours. No, we went through this last time. I don't have tickets, Sammy. It's sold out.
Hang on a second. Why do you think that I'm trying to whore myself out for a ticket? It's not about tickets.
Oh, well, every time you bring it up, Sammy, it's all about tickets. So
it's about tickets.
Okay. No, but this is more like market research. So Bruce, the last time you and I were in Vegas together, we did show prep.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I think we should do a scaled down version of maybe gambling.
Because
you're going to be there. You're going to be there in Vegas. I'm going to be there in Vegas. I'm there until Sunday.
Oh, you're here? You're there in Vegas this weekend?
Oh,
I gather?
Apparently you don't listen. Okay. That's really where all this started.
Apparently I love weed too much because I'm there next weekend. Sorry.
Oh, my God. You see?
Oh, my God, Sammy. Jeez.
The last 90 seconds of this show encapsulate really what everything is all about when Sam comes on this program. So there you go.
Oh, there we go. All right, let's get down to basics here. Okay, Sammy, have a nice time next weekend in Las Vegas.
No, I'm going to be there for the AVNs. Aren't you going to be there?
No. Next weekend I'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina for UFC. My whole whirlwind tour, I've got big announcements coming up, college basketball events, you name it. I got so much happening this year. I hope I'm home. That's all I do. I hope I'm home to enjoy my home life. That's how busy it's going to be. But right now, all I can see is UFC 246, Donald Cerrone, Conor McGregor, welterweight bout, Cerrone rated. It's amazing, TJ, and I'm not questioning it. It's just it is amazing. Conor's not fought for 18 months in the UFC. Cerrone has fought how many times in 18 months? At least four
times, I think, yeah, at least.
And Connor's great at number four, and Cerrone's contender number five. Okay, now the co-main event is the bantamweight bout between the tough Raquel Pennington and Holly Holm. That should be very, very entertaining. We have a heavyweight bout with Maurice Greene, Alexi Olenek, Claudia Gadelha is back against Alexa Grasso, and Diego Ferreira against Anthony Pettis. It's a heck of a main card. And then you go down, Macy Barber and Roxanne Modafferi. I got to tell you, that's one of the fights I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, for good reason. I mean, yeah, literally, it's a pioneer in Roxanne Modafferi against someone that is nicknamed the future in Macy Barber. Macy Barber is the biggest favorite on the card. And, you know, really, honestly, from a betting standpoint, she really should win. But you cannot ever, ever sleep on the idea that Roxanne Modafferi will not succeed in fights that people feel like maybe she's outmatched and outgunned. I would go nowhere near this fight if I was a better, but I'll be tuned in for sure.
You know what? It's so funny. Not funny, but it's so fascinating with Roxanne. Her smile, she's so sweet, so nice. You can't even picture her as a fighter, and then she gets in there and turns it on. And she's fighting, let's face it, one of the toughest flyweights to come around the UFC octagon in a long time, Macy Barber, who still has a long way to prove herself beyond the proof that she's already proven herself with. Before that, we have Sadiq Youssef and Andre Feely. I feel that's going to be an excellent
fight.
That'll
be fight of the night.
Tim Elliott,
fight of the night, in my opinion.
They're going to go for it. You know, you're right, TJ. They're going to go for it. Tim Elliott, always entertaining against Askarov. And Nasrat Haqparast against Drew Dober. Drew Dober, always a tough opponent. This is a heck of a card. I'm very excited about it. Donald Cerrone, Conor McGregor, we said it before. We talked about it. But, TJ, let me have your take. Break down the fight real quick. Who's going to win?
Conor early or Donald late?
Which seems to be the consensus of opinion. Conor before two rounds, Donner after. Do you know what the over-under is in this fight, round-wise?
I'll get it,
TJ,
for you. Just give me...
No, I got it. I got it.
I would say... I mean, so what is the time? Is it a round and a half or is it two and a half?
Round and a half.
Round and a half. Yeah. So do you have a line on it?
Yeah, I can get it for you.
I can get it for you. I'm just curious. I would say that the under a round and a half is probably going to be at minus money.
Yeah, but I think the over, and again, I don't bet fights, but I think the over is a great bet.
Oh,
I think people
are
reacting. I think it's just, I actually think it's the bet of the century. Okay? I'm just putting it out there. I'm not going to bet it. I think it's the best bet of the night.
It depends on the line. I'm trying to pull up the line right now, and I'll get it.
Check it while we're talking. Pay-per-view buys estimate. I'm going to say 1.2 million. Do you think it's going to hit 2 million again?
I'll take the under on that. I don't know if it's going to break a million.
Really? You don't think it will? Be interesting to see. Do you think that's anything to do with the ESPN Plus application, or do you think it's with Conor McGregor being away for 2 years? Or
a combination of everything. I mean, I hope it does. I hope it does north of a million, but I don't know. I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling the buzz the way that I normally do in Conor fights for whatever reason. Maybe it's because he's so reserved, honestly.
Yeah, no, that's the reason. That's totally the reason. It has to be because the publicity and the promo are out there. Now, let's go into some news. I just think it's going to be a huge show. I think it's going to do really well. Will it hit 2 million? That's questionable. But you know what? It's still going to be huge. And people are going to make a lot of money. And Cowboy's going to make millions. We know that Conor's going to make millions. I'm fine with that. I'm happy for him. I am so happy for Cowboy Cerrone to have a big, 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 big payday. And I hope it's the biggest payday ever. I love when these great fighters make millions of dollars. Definitely. Okay, let's go into the story. Two men have pleaded guilty. A library found, get this, guys. A library found it was missing $8 million of its rarest items, right? And they can't find out why. It turns out that two men pleaded guilty to the theft and receiving stolen property, right, of $8 million worth of rare books, plates, and maps were taken from a Pittsburgh library. The person who stole it from out underneath the library kept selling it to a rare bookstore owner. The theft is now one of the world's largest losses to date. The people finally got caught. It is mind-boggling to me how you can run a business and have $8 million of product stolen out from under your feet and not know about it until years later. But with that being said, this relationship between these two people that were stealing these items goes all the way back to 1992. They were stealing them over a period of 25 years to the tune of $8 million. That's crazy. I mean, where's the systems inside to see if things are being stolen?
Someone's been fired for their terrible inventory work.
Yeah, that's just crazy. Sam, are you there? Did we lose you? TJ, did we lose Sammy?
Have. Sammy, I think your microphone actually might be muted.
Oh yeah, no, I'm
there
here.
We go.
I'm here.
Okay. Okay.
I was talking with cats and stuff when you guys were talking UFC. Sorry.
You were talking with cats.
Okay, so I'm sitting on my... Okay, guys, I worked to 2 a.m. on a porn set. I'm fucking exhausted.
There's one.
Oh,
two.
Fuck.
Two.
Damn it. God bless it. Okay, I really was trying.
You're doing fine. Keep it under two. You're doing great.
No. Okay. The over-under on the F-bombs is 3.5. What do you got?
Two.
No, you have to say yes, so you're taking the under. You don't think she's going to say it again?
Oh. No, I take the over.
Yeah, 3.5. Kidding? Yeah, you got to take the over.
Yeah. Yeah, please. Seriously. Okay. All right.
Challenge. Okay, so hang on. Let me finish my thoughts so people don't think I'm crazy. So I am literally sitting in my bed because I'm not laying. I'm sitting. And if I could show you, if our cameras were on, I could show you four sleeping cats, my darlings, they're all surrounding me like I'm like Sheba, queen of the lions or something.
Okay,
and
go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So I'm just, you know, kissing them and I'm loving on them. I've been on a porn set all day, every day, all week long. It's been crazy. You guys know what I've had to deal with. And it's not porn. It's the other shit.
I could make a joke right now that I would have made 4 years ago on the SNR show that I can't make. It's killing me.
Let me change the subject real quick. You mentioned cats. Have either of you two seen the Netflix documentary "Don't F with Cats"?
Yes. Ooh, who said that word?
I didn't say F.
Sammy
did.
No, Sammy mentioned it. Sammy mentioned it. And I did see it. I'm going to watch it, and I'll talk about it after I watch it with you guys because I don't really know anything about it until
my God,
I do.
Bruce, it is hard to watch.
Okay.
Oh, really?
So just to give everybody listening an idea, if you haven't seen any talk of it or anything, it's on Netflix, and it's Don't F with Cats, and it's a 3-part docuseries on hunting an internet killer. So, you know, a lot of serial killers start out by maiming, torturing, and hurting animals.
Yes.
And there was a particular person who was posting videos on Facebook and other places of him torturing kittens. And people found out and started a massive Facebook page where they started, like, keyboard warriors started investigating and hunting and trying to find where in the world, who in the world this person was. And he did lots of tricks and like played a Russian soap opera in the background. So when they were like dissecting the video of one of the videos, and what they do is they show bits of the video that he posts, but not the most graphic
part. It's still hard to watch.
But the description, because the people behind the scenes on Facebook, this group that were hunting him, talk very graphically and break down, it makes me cry, about what he did. And then he graduates, of course, from kittens to a dog to a person. So now he's being hunted in every country, and this little Facebook group that was hunting him over kittens like had the most information on him. So it is so good. In the end, everything, justice is served, and how it comes down.
Spoiler alert, Jesus.
Yeah, Sammy, don't give away too much, because quite frankly,
I might
not watch it due to the content. I think I will just get peeved off like there's nothing.
You got to watch it, Bruce. Watch it.
Yeah,
okay, all right.
Do. Because the care, everyone in it, everything about it is fantastic, except for those few moments where they actually hearken to the atrocities.
Okay, I will watch it.
I walked out of the room. when it started coming on, I walked out and I came back in when it was
safe. Probably the darkest documentary I've ever seen. But yeah, definitely worth your time, Buff.
Well, one of the darkest documentaries, you know, is out now with one of the darkest movies, which is The Joker. We talked about that the other day. And Sam, you got to check that out. We'll talk about your opinion on that one after we watch it. But he will definitely win the Best Actor award. I'll check out this documentary on Netflix, and we'll talk about it on the show next time you're on, Sammy.
Okay, cool.
Let me go on to another thing here. We talk about shark attacks, but this is a post-shark attack situation. It's horrid. All right. A rising star in the NAIA Champion Soccer League, okay? Or Soccer League, excuse me. And he was a champion in the league. His name is Eric Barraghetti, if I said that correctly, from Perth, Australia. He was a standout player for Hastings College in Nebraska, okay? He won a national title with the team in 2016. He was at Twilight Beach, right, near Esperance in Australia when he was swept into the ocean by a swell. His friends tried to save him with a life preserver, but the current was too strong and he was washed out to sea. They found his body, and this is horrid. They found his body, his sister and his father found his body, and he was being eaten by sharks when they found him. Okay, the man's body was discovered on Tuesday, and sharks were spotted just attacking his corpse in the water. Quite big, great white they're talking about. Can you imagine? He's missing. Your sister and your father are out looking for you, and they find you in the water being eaten by sharks after you've already passed away, of
See,
course. But how horrible!
I mean,
it's
terrible,
that?
Bruce. But I thought we've talked constantly on the show that sharks don't generally want to eat you. They don't know what you are, and they take a taste, and then they immediately sort of let go. What changed here that they were feeding on him?
I really don't know, because that is, you know, that's been said many times, is that they'll attack and then they'll be done. So I don't really know what
man,
to say.
Don't get me wrong, it's a grim and very tragic story, but that's
tragic,
that's what I'm
yeah.
taking away from here is somehow some sharks apparently do have an appetite for humans.
I guess they do. You know, here's proof and pudding. Sammy, this next story is going to be a little tough for you, okay? Tough for anybody to listen to. Did you hear the story about this former Kentucky governor named Bevin who pardoned a child rapist?
Yeah.
And the reason he pardoned the child rapist was partly because the hymen of the 9-year-old victim was still intact. Can you tell me? I mean, do I need to explain anything?
No. And I don't even want to go on any further than that. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. What the hell? You know?
Is he a Democrat or Republican?
He's a disgusting human being. That's what he is.
He's a
it
Republican.
Doesn't matter what he is. I mean, that's just gross.
No, but I'm sorry, but they have a history of having questionable people in higher up positions that are constantly accused of things of this nature. And then Trump loves to say how great that person is publicly, and it's like, what are you talking about?
Well, so, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's it. Like,
well,
you know,
here's the thing. The accused, right, the criminal, right, involved, his name is Mika Scholtel, right? He was convicted in 2018. He was sentenced. He was convicted of rape, sodomy, and sexual abuse. He was sentenced to 23 years in prison. Now, a study in 2012 by the journal Forensic Science International found that 90% of child victims don't suffer physical damage from sexual abuse. But sexual abuse is still sexual abuse.
It's psychological as well.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I was appalled, if that's the proper word, when I read this.
Obviously, there's something like going on beneath the story. He pardoned that person for a reason, right?
Yeah, but that's one of the key reasons.
Oh, there's something. No, that is the public reason. That's what he's using to face the nation.
Okay.
But there is another reason, because literally to say that a hymen's not broken is not a reason to say that a child hasn't been raped.
To me, that – I mean, God, I hate even saying this, but that sort of kind of opens the door legally for other forms of what I think would be molestation and rape to be argued in court that it doesn't, you know, fit the description.
Yeah, right. Because there was no physical remnant. Right. Obviously, that guy doesn't watch any Law and Order, because if you watch Law and Order, SVU, I was about to say Criminal Intent, because I love that one too, but the SVU, then you would know the psychological effects of sexual trauma on a child, and they don't always distribute it or, exhibit it. Exhibit it physically. A lot of it comes out in behavioral issues. Right.
A lot of it can, you know, be sort of on like a time delay where the issues don't come out until they actually become, you know, sexually mature and want to explore that part of their lives and can't because there's this huge mental block.
Yep.
Right. Well, we'll see, you know, not we'll see. We saw it's here. It's in black and white, but just it's disturbing. It's disturbing.
Yeah, it's God has a way of being just and swift with everyone. So this guy who got off, you know, sometimes when you have to take someone down, they have to be at the top or their perceived top to really feel it when they fall. So, you know, this guy got out. It's like a get out of jail free card. And he's going to be at the top, and then someone's going to cut his legs off, figuratively, not literally.
If it happens, we'll report on it when it happens. So let's go on to the next story, as disturbing as this one is. The next story involves some sexual content here that we'll discuss. But a buddy of mine, Jeremy Roenick, who's the very well-known hockey player from the past, hockey star, and he's a commentator or an analyst on NBC. They suspended him. And again, I'm only talking about this because, you know, this happens a lot, but I want to get your opinion on it, Sammy, on the severity of it, how you feel about it. So Jeremy was suspended after a joke he made about threesomes with a coworker, okay? So he was suspended indefinitely without pay after this professional turned analyst went on a podcast and made sexual comments about his coworkers. So he's a 20-year veteran. If you don't know Jeremy, he played for the Blackhawks, the Coyotes, and the Philadelphia Flyers. He was on the Barstool Sports Spittin' Chicklets podcast, where he was talking about his colleagues, Catherine Tappan and Patrick Sharp. And at one point, what he brought up was that he discussed going on a vacation with his wife and Catherine Tappan. And he revealed that he joked with a hotel guest during the vacation about their situation, saying, I play it off like we're going to bed together every night, the three of us. And then he explained it would never happen, but added, if it really came to fruition, that would be really good. Later in the interview, Roenick praised the host as a coworker, saying she's one of the most professional sports personalities I know. And then Roenick also gushed about his appearance, saying he's beautiful, and I have to think about it if he asked me, and I wouldn't say no. As for Sharp, Roenick gushed about his appearance and said, I wouldn't say no right away. That was it. Okay, so I'm not saying that it was right, but I want to get your opinion, Sammy. Is that worthy of being suspended on a podcast to say that?
Yeah, absolutely not. God bless. If I could get fired for half the shit I say on your show, come on. It's an opinion, and it's a joke. There's a thing called a sense of humor. There, you know, I say shit all the time. That's not necessarily.
Yes, we know. To me, it comes.
But that's not necessarily, you know, like it. It's also called entertainment. He was there. You know, that could be his sense of humor. He didn't say he definitely did it. He didn't accuse anyone of doing it. He made a joke about it.
Doesn't it come down to also the people in question, whether or not they're offended and upset by it? Because it doesn't sound like there's an offended party here.
Okay. So for us, with our we had like a sexual harassment training with our company that I wasn't privy to because I'm an independent contractor, which I think is really stupid since I run the productions of my company and I should probably know all the ins and outs of what they're teaching the company. So if I face it on a set, I'm aware.
I absolutely agree with you, Sammy.
Yeah. Well, no, there was a whole big discussion about it and I was iced out and I'm like, when I was a radio host on CBS radio, where I went on air and talked about my opinions, I still had, and I was not an employee. I was an independent contractor. I still had to take all of those courses, diversity, sexual harassment training, all of it, because I'm representing a company each and every time I go on air. So I had to be very well aware of what I was saying because I could create a shitstorm.
Right.
And if anybody doesn't notice, I'm replacing the word F with shit. Ha ha! Okay, sorry. So anyway, with this most current sexual harassment training that I was not privy to, but what everybody told me was, and I already know this, is it might not be an issue between the two people that it's happening between, but if anyone witnessing it within the company feels offended by it, whether you're saying something that's a joke between two people, we've had people go to human resources saying that they were offended about someone saying, Jesus fucking Christ.
There's three.
Because?
Three.
Okay, well, they're oh, four. Fuck! Shit!
The over. Buff. You lose. You lose. The over cashes.
No, keep going, Sam. I'm really admiring your ability to hopefully refrain, so keep continuing.
Where was I? Because now I got for Clem.
Other people being offended by.
Oh, yeah. So the Jesus effing Christ, that particular person was religious and could not, you know, that was offensive to put the F word with the Jesus word. And even though that coworker was the other one, wasn't in the area, but the other one overheard it, it doesn't matter. It still offended the coworker. So shit is that PC right now. Got where it. you have to, you know, also, I'm a big hugger. I hug everyone that comes on our set. All the talent, all the crew, the first day of production, the last day of rap, I hug. So it was pointed out to me, those people that I hug obviously don't mind, we're friends, but what if someone else witnessed it and felt uncomfortable?
Right.
My hugging.
Right.
Right. So, and I say, fuck them. No.
it's a tough one for me too, Sammy, because, it's being the way I was raised and being Italian, I want to give part of that to my background and my loving family and, you know, the fact we always hug each other. And I show a lot of affection towards my friends. I have no problem man-hugging or whatever, but I've really toned it down. I mean, there's no body-to-body touch. It's simply maybe even a one arm around, if anything. But I've really swayed from hugging a lot for the reasons that you're talking about, Sammy. It's a very sensitive society in which we live. And when you look at the story we're talking about right now, yes, people can be offended by it. And yes, people could say you should have been suspended. But a lot of people are not offended by it. In this case, of this one like you. And I think it's kind of like myself. But there are rules and regulations in place with each company. But it is such a sensitive world. And people have other aspirations for financial gain in certain areas. You have to be careful. It's almost like we just have to become like Stepford people, you know, just walking around and just being as absolutely proper as possible. You know?
I know, but here's the thing. Aren't podcasts a safe space?
No, obviously not.
They should be.
They're not.
I mean, look at all the people that are big podcasters, like the Joe Rogans or the Adam Carollas and the Mark Marins and the Bruce Buffers.
But look at how they've toned all their shows down.
Uh-huh.
I mean, look at some of the comedians on stand-up. I see different routines by comedians that would go crazy 4 years ago. They don't go as crazy
anymore.
It's
not worth the risk. They don't want to take a chance. It's not worth the risk, unfortunately. Yeah.
And crazy. Look at how people respond when a comedian does something semi-questionable, where...
Kevin Hart.
Yes.
Where before, 4 years ago, it would have been part of his routine. Nobody would have said a word.
The reason I say unfortunately is because it's causing people to pretty much, in my opinion, be disingenuous, not being, you know, honest to who they are and the craft of things. I'm all for ensuring an environment where you make people, you know, feel comfortable and safe. But at the same time, like, at what cost are we just not saying what we feel because it may or may not be taken a certain way, and arguably in certain aspects of things, it's actually changing the narrative of very serious conversations.
It has absolutely changed the narrative, and I find in myself, as I talk about this with you, is that I second guess things I'm about to say sometimes. Never used to be that way because I'm a very proper gentleman. Right.
But also, it's like the whole expression, my views are my views alone and not that of my employer. Like, people oftentimes even put that on the bio of their social media.
That's crazy to me. I don't know. If you're the spokesperson for a company, then maybe I think what you say may directly reflect your company's opinions and whatnot. But if you're just a guy who works for a company, I don't think you need to put that on your Twitter, that anything you say doesn't necessarily reflect the views of your employer. Like, yeah, no kidding, because you're a guy. And just because you're a Patriots fan doesn't mean that your company is a supporter of the, you know, New England Patriots. Like, it's weird.
Well, certain things need to go unsaid, and many things need to be said. So that's what we're doing on the show. I think we just pointed out the fact that we all are very, I don't want to say tepid, but you've got to think twice. You just got to think twice. You can't free flow that much anymore. You know, there's always that danger. Something wrong could come out. It's not the most fun way to live, but it's a necessity these days. Make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, now, here's another thing, and talk about this one. TJ,
oh,
I want you
to say, if you were sitting here in my bed, yes, I have cats surrounding me. And I, by the way, I took a little video. I'm going to post it and tag you guys just so you can see what I see. But I have the beautiful penthouse pet of the year, Kenna James, staying with me. And I heard her door creak open as you were talking, Bruce, and I looked over. Beautiful, angelic, naked, gorgeous babe walked right by and into the bathroom. And it distracted me. Sorry.
Well, you just distracted me. So thank you
I'm
very
offended.
Much.
I'm offended. I'm offended.
Are you offended?
TJ's offended. Lawyer up, baby.
I mean,
lawyer up.
I don't have any cats in the studio with me, so I'm offended.
Again, I can make a joke that I would have made 4 to 5 years ago that I will not make today for obvious reasons. Okay, here we go. So now, Tyson Fury, the boxer, okay, he's got a rematch February 22nd against Deontay Wilder. And he's acting a bit jerky before his big rematch. That's not a quote from me. It's a quote from the article I was reading. And I'll tell you why. He's claiming that to prepare for his big match, he's masturbating 7 times a day.
Whoa.
Masturbating 7 times a day, he feels, to keep his testosterone pumping. In his words, I'm masturbating 7 times a day to keep my testosterone pumping. Pump it, pump it, pump it, pump it up. Don't you know, I got it to keep active and the testosterone flowing for the fight. Don't want the levels to go down. Now, my question is, TJ, isn't the fact that boxers used to always say we don't have sex during training is because it can reduce their level of testosterone? I'm not sure about that.
I was under the understanding that if you wanted to have a blood test done to where your testosterone levels were actually lower, that is the method to ensure that that would be the case. So
exactly. Plus it drains your adrenals. I only know one thing. If I was a sparring partner and he took a break in the third round, I don't know if I want to box him when he came back. I'm just kidding.
I'm offended.
Oh boy. You're offended. Okay. There we go. Lawyer up. Okay. There we go.
Wait, but I don't understand. I thought that they don't want to orgasm because it depletes your energy.
That's the point we're trying to make. And from what I understand, it can deplete it. He's saying it increases his testosterone. I wish I had one of my doctor friends on to get a comment on this, but I found it to be he's entertaining as it is normally. Now he's, you know, becoming even more entertaining.
But isn't there a difference between testosterone and energy? Like, you know, it might build up testosterone to where you're like, I can really kick his ass. But like, does it really give you more energy, or doesn't it at the end? I mean,
there's a reason dudes fall asleep after that, generally.
I was going to say, if you go 12 rounds in your bed, Bruce, are you getting up and fighting somebody?
If I have to, if I don't want to.
Okay. But you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. It's all good. Okay, well, good luck with that one, Tyson. Maybe you should invite a friend instead of being on your own. Just saying. Okay, so now, I don't know if I'm saying his name correctly. This whole esports thing is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're always talking about it on the show. But this 26-year-old NFL pro bowler, who is now a current free agent, but he's going to stay for the NFL, but he's going to stay competitive in a different sport. He's officially signing with the Philadelphia Union for the 2020 EMLS Cup campaign. He's going to become a FIFA 20 player and go for the big money. There's a lot of mainstream athletes that are becoming serious gamers. NBA stars Gordon Hayward, Carl Anthony Towns, De'Aaron Fox. Also, legends like Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal, Alex Rodriguez, and other guys are investing in esports. There's a big, big moves being made here. We've talked about it on the show. My trainer also trains Rick Fox, the NBA champion from the Lakers, who is heavily involved in his own esports organization. This is another area I plan on working a good amount in during 2020. This whole industry, Sammy, and TJ knows, Sammy, it's getting huge. There's a guy named Ninja who's a pro gamer. Sammy makes $500,000 a month. $500,000 a month, right? It's crazy. All right, you know, now we talk. Go ahead.
sorry. Gamer is in video, those games, or gamer is in gambler?
No, it's called esports, Sammy. Esports is video game competition.
Yeah, League of Legends, things like
Fortnite,
that.
Yeah. Fortnite. Fortnite made $1.8 billion last year. They gave $100 million away in tournament winnings this year. $100 million is being given away this year in tournament winnings. Okay, it's crazy. Big, big stuff. All right.
I was going to say, in the adult world, a lot of, not a ton, but there are quite a few adult superstars and centerfolds that are big, like Twitch, superstars. Like, they go on their Twitch account and they play their video games and everybody watches them, which.
That's right. And they're making tons of money doing that.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Yep. It's my boys watch Twitch all the time. Rupert has sworn off gaming. He was a huge gamer, gaming hours and hours a day. His parents, Kristen and Chris, or his parents, had to, you know, put down the proper family rules or whatever. Rupert's cold turkey, stopped playing video games. He's more into his artwork now, and he's painting Van's shoes and working in theater and school, and it's very interesting to see the transition. While Henry, who's extremely intelligent, does amazing in school and still loves his gaming but won't play Fortnite anymore. He spreads it out amongst other fields. This is the future. The kids love video games. I loved video games when I was a kid, and if they were to the level they are today, maybe I would have loved them a lot more, the kids are doing today.
Wait, games when you were a kid?
Not a kid, but when I got in my – they really came out. Pong and everything came out of my – like when I was 18, you know, all that, the Centipede and the
– Oh, yeah. Those are the classics, man. Those are the great –
Yeah, the classic – Yeah, it started really taking off in my early 20s, and I really always have enjoyed gaming, and that's one of the reasons I made 3 video games, and in the year 1999 came out with Ready to Rumble Boxing. It was one of my biggest things I wanted to do when I partnered up with Michael, was make the Let's Get Ready to Rumble Boxing game, of which we sold almost 4 million games. You know, but back when I made the game, there was only 350 made that year, and the next year 3,500, and today there's probably over 10,000 a year that you don't hear about.
That was a great game. I remember playing that game with all of my friends in middle school and high school, because it was just – there are very few games where you can just sit and play with 4 or 5 friends and just take turns and be entertained. I'm really surprised that hasn't had a next-gen sort of sequel.
Yeah, resurgence. Can you –
I'm working on it, guys. It's not the easiest thing in the world. It's a different industry now, but it is on my bucket list, but on my business plan to revamp the Ready to Rumble game the first chance I get. And I've had a couple of near misses last year, and I'm going to work on some others this year. Just one of the many things we work on here at Buffer Enterprises. So let's see how that goes. In the meantime, last week we talked about Steve McQueen's Mustang from the movie Bullet, of which there were only 2, that has been up for auction. Well, it did auction off this week. Okay, TJ, I know you have notes. How much do you think it went for? Or if you didn't see it, Sammy, how much do you think it went for? Just tell me how much you think.
I'll say $750,000.
$3.4 million.
Wow.
With the buyer fee, which is when you buy things at auction, you have to pay an auction fee that goes to the auctioneer, which is usually 10% or 15%. So a total of $3.74 million was the cost of the car.
When do you pick it up?
Yeah, right. I'd love to. Jesus. But Steve's other car, his Porsche Turbo, which I know and actually ridden in. I drove in it with Chad because Chad had that forever after his dad passed in 1980. But that sold a few years back for $1.95 million, if not mistaken. I spoke to Chad yesterday. I want to go see him. You know, we've been best friends for years. He said that he offered the man who was selling the Mustang to help market it, you know, put a little more provenance behind it with a little more emphasis from the Steve McQueen brand estate. The man turned it down. He was not the easiest to deal with. Yes, he got a lot of money, but Chad said he left $1 million on the table. Had Chad worked with him, as he's worked with others, and really put a more authenticity on it beyond what was already there, he feels, and he knows because he works with his dad's stuff, selling him all the time here and there, he feels he would have brought him another $1 million. It would have gone for over $4 million. But still, $3.4 million is the highest price tag ever paid for a Mustang. except for the $2.2 million that was paid for a 67 Shelby GT a while back. So there you go, Steve McQueen and memorabilia rolls on. Okay, folks, six things to let go of if you want to be happier this year. Okay, I'm just going to read them to you and you can comment, all right? Letting fear hold you back from something you want to do. I think that's the biggest problem a lot of people have. Holding on to old grudges or grievances. You got to let go, folks. You got to let go. If you haven't taken care of it, take care of it and let it go. Worrying about what other people think of you. I think these make very good sense. A lot of people are so caught up in that. The need to be right in every conflict. I think another word for that is called stubborn. You know? So basically what I'm reading from all these different things is trying to relieve internal stress in your body to help keep you to be a happier person. Is that how you interpret that, Sammy?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, because these are all valid points. All valid points.
They're wise and they are common sense kind of that, you know, should just practice.
Agreed. Agreed. All right, Sammy, we're at the end of the show. Why don't you let us know what's happening? Anything you want to tell our wonderful audience? And happy new year, darling.
Aw, I love you.
Love you too.
What do I want to tell everybody? I'm sorry for all my F-bombs.
Okay.
I don't mean to offend Republicans because there are quite a few very nice of you guys out there and girls. And one of my best friends is one. So I talk a bunch of shit on the show. But
it's for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, I really do love everybody. And yes, if any Republican was really in dire straits and reached out to me, I would help them. I wouldn't hold it against them. So I just had to put that out there. And then I just have to tell you how stressful and how tiring porn work is for real, guys. Like, you have no idea the things I had to do for one movie alone. I had to replace two female talents the day of their call times. And do you know how hard it is to find someone ready to do anal the morning of?
Well, I'm at a loss for words at the end of the show talking about what's going on in your life, Sammy. But no, I really don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, time for a Netflix documentary of Sam Phillips' day-to-day business.
I can't. Okay, so
I had a problem balancing my checkbook yesterday. Not necessarily as high as your problems, but that's okay. As deep as your problems.
Thank you. In one day. Literally, I had to replace the first girl call time, having nothing to do with anal. She was having vaginal issues. So last minute, I had to replace that girl. Then
Keep it clean. Yep. Go ahead.
I'm just very brief. Then the second girl had backside problems, and her agent forgot to tell me to unbook the girl. So I had to replace two girls. And what it entails is, I've got to find a girl that's my company worthy, you know, that we would shoot them last minute. Not everyone is in the higher top tier of echelon of adult star ready to go at a moment's notice for anal. So they cannot have eaten since the day before. They had to do all their quote backside prep the day before, the morning of. So, you know, to find someone just sitting at home, all prepped and ready to go.
Not to be gross, Sam, this sounds impossible. Like, this sounds like something that cannot be done.
Yeah. Okay. So then I get a call from our location manager. So we did one movie Monday, Tuesday, another movie yesterday and Friday. So on Tuesday, I get a call after dealing with all the anal stuff from the location manager of the same locations, you know, she handled all the different ones, saying that the boxing gym location of my second movie, which is like a $1 million baby porn movie, boxing movie. Right now it's called Below the Belt, but we'll change it. So, and the gym that we rented, they're doing construction on the roof on Friday. So sorry. And we had already put a deposit down months before to have these 2 days. I booked all these talents. Some of them are on 2 days crossover dialogues. Like, it's a feature. It's a porn feature. So it's a bigger than normal adult movie. Like, it's got a story. It's got a backstory. It's got a freaking arc. The whole nine yards.
Well, obviously has a backstory. I'm just sorry. Get it going.
Wow. So I ended up having to find another location for Friday. And then the location we were at with all these things happening to me, the guy called and said, yeah, you need to be out by 10 p.m. So we normally don't have a hard out because usually you go overtime. There could be wood problems. There could be someone late to set. There could be I had to replace two talents. So we had to wait overtime for them to get there, dealy-do, get made up, the whole nine yards. So they basically were kicking us out and the scene wasn't even done. I can't even tell you, guys, I want to die. And then there's tomorrow. And then next week there's AVN where I have to, you don't even know. So if anybody's at AVN next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday and Saturday, find me at the Penthouse booth. I'll be walking around doing the things, hanging out with Penthouse Pets. We have a gifting suite. Just come up to me. No matter what you are, I'll hug you. I'll love you. And, that's it. And you can find more information. Twitter is The Single Life. Instagram, Sam's Pajama Party. And Facebook is Sammy Phillips. And there you go. That's why I sound like shit, guys. Listen to me.
You sound like the Sammy we know and love. And that was your week. TJ, how was your week? Can you top that? But Sammy, thanks, honey. I appreciate it. Go ahead. See, I got to go, guys. I got to go. We got
to
get
going. No!
We need to go because I'm exhausted because Sam just told, that story.
No, I just wanted to know how TJ's week was. You can't just on mine.
It can't top your week, Sammy. I think TJ's
it's McGregor fight week. Follow me at TJ DeSantis.
All right. And follow me on Instagram, Bruce Buffer UFC, and Twitter at Bruce Buffer. All right, everybody. Another interesting and fun show at It's Time Radio with our co-host, Sammy Phillips, and, of course, my co-host and producer, TJ DeSantis. Sammy, love you. Thank you. You have a great week. I hope everything you take care of those back problems and everything works out okay on set.
Oh, it's going to be great, and apparently I will see everybody not this weekend in Vegas, but next weekend.
And my girl, Kitty, helped you with your equipment and everything?
Oh, so we ended up having equipment at that location for the day, the one day that we were there yesterday.
Okay, good.
So, and then
this conversation can happen off the air.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I do have to go. I do have to go. Sam, I'm sorry, guys. I hate when I have to end the show like this.
Bye.
So much to do today. I got to leave for Vegas. Sammy, love you. TJ, all the best to you, my brother. We'll be back next week. We'll be talking about the big show, UFC 246. I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about. So get ready, people. Conor McGregor, he's back. Cowboy Cerrone, he's in. It's going to be a war, folks. I'll see you from the Octagon on Saturday. Everybody, treat everybody around you with respect. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Be a role model to your sphere of influence. Set your goals. Write them down. Learn about them so you can be the best you can be when you set on that path. Because if you're the best you can be, whether you're the best in the world or just the best job you can possibly do on your own, then that means you're winning. And that's what 2020 is all about. It's time to win, folks. Tune in with us next week, and we'll talk about winning much more. Love you all. Big cheers. No fears forever. Buffer out.
The preceding podcast was a TJ DeSantis production. Comments, questions, and inquiries can be directed to DeSantisProd@gmail.com.